Good morning. Merry Christmas. Christmas season is still going on, even if you've already taken everything back for returns. You may notice the bulletin's different. That's because the copier died. And so we're actually going to have to use our hymnal. So if you'll take that maroon-looking book out here, and it has this kind of cross on it, there's your hymnal. We're going to use two different services. The first part of the service is Corporate Confession and Absolution. It begins on pages 290-291. And so your best bet is to open up there, take your worship folder, and stick it there. Later on, after we finish with the Confession and Absolution and we go to the prayers of the church, we will move to page 282, Responsive Prayer 1. You may want to take one of your streamers and put it there, so that, that way, when we get there, it's easy to find. You're going to have to read your own Bible when Bryson and I share the readings for today. So if you don't have one with you, I believe there are Bibles scattered out in the pews, so you may want to locate that here as well. I think that's enough preparatory. And so we begin with our opening hymn, O Savior of Our Fallen Race. That's number 403, and we will rise for the last verse. The order of service of corporate confession and absolution begins on page 290 with the invocation and opening sentences. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. You may be seated as we continue with the reading of God's holy word.
Slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord called all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that are first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We continue with singing the hymn, Once He Came in Blessing, number 333.
Thank you.
The epistle is from Colossians chapter 3. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the Lord of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
gospel for this first Sunday of Easter, of Christmas, is taken from Luke chapter 2. No, please remain standing for the gospel. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom. The favor of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated, and we sing our sermon hymn, I Lay My Sins on Jesus, number 606.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be pleasing unto your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. And all God's people said, Amen. From Psalm 111, we hear the word of the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my whole heart, in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have good understanding. And his praise endures forever. This is the word of the Lord. You know, John Wayne is quoted as saying, kids today don't know the fear of hearing leather being rapidly pulled through 7 Wrangler belt loops. Well, the Duke's words are representative of what many people think of when it comes to that word fear. You hear the word fear and terror, and being afraid is what comes to mind. I can recall a friend of mine's father telling, wait till we get home, and I'm going to put the fear of God into you, boy. Fear is often the prescription for scaring people into doing something or not doing something. If someone were to say, do this or else, it may be the fear of that else that would compel one to act. When I was a little boy, some people would have concluded that my middle initial M stood for mischievous rather than for Michael. I was a busy little toddler, scurrying from one adventure to another and then on to the next disaster. And my mother was constantly slapping my hands, trying to grab things or to do things that would seem dangerous, which was just about everything I could get my hands on. Now, Mama Jo was looking out for my safety, but her constant corrections had their effect. One day, there was a woman in a grocery store. She came up and asked me what my name was. And slapping my hands, I said, no, no, Mike, no, no. Now, crawling around the house, I soon discovered electrical outlets on the walls. And I was mesmerized as I watched my parents and my older sister plug lights and radios and vacuum cleaners and other such appliances into those sockets, making them work. I wanted to make things turn on. So I started grabbing stuff, and I went from outlet to outlet trying to plug things in, with my mother constantly attempting to stop me, taking whatever I had in my hand away, and of course, slapping my hands all the while saying, no, no, Mike, no, no. Well, one day, my father was home. He actually took a day off from work, and that was a rare occurrence for him. I had gotten my hands on a large wood staple, and that puppy was the right size to stick into the slots of one of those outlets. And so with said staple in hand, I was off to the races to the nearest electrical outlet to stick it in and see what would happen. Now, Mama Jo was too far across the room to reach me. Dad was just sitting on the couch, watching my progress. And my mother shouted at him, J.W., stop him before he hurts himself. Dad just sat there. And then looking over his shoulder, he calmly replied, "Let him stick it in. He'll never do it again." Now at that point, if I had been older and wiser, I may have stopped and reconsidered the life choice I was about to make. But I was young and stupid, and I was determined I was going to stick that wood staple into that electric outlet. I was going to see what would happen. And so I reached the outlet. Sure enough, it was the perfect fit. And when I stuck that staple into that outlet, 110 volts went coursing through my body, catapulting me across the room where I landed up against the couch. My thumb was scorched black, and my hair stood on end like a fluff ball for 2 days. Satisfied, my dad just sat there and said to Mom, "See, told you, he won't do that again." I learned to fear electricity that day. Now, I was never so afraid of electricity that I wouldn't flip a switch or plug something that should be plugged into the outlet as I grew older. But I did learn that day electricity had a kick to it, and that you needed to develop a healthy respect for its potential to make bad things happen to you just as it could make good things happen, such as powering the lights or making the air conditioning work, or turning on the TV. When the psalmist says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, he's not talking about being scared or afraid of God. He's talking about having a healthy dose of respect for God. As Luther explains the Ten Commandments in his small catechism, he addresses our proper attitude toward God as is described in the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." What does this mean? We should fear, love, trust in God above all things. And did you notice? Luther begins his explanation with the word fear. In fact, as he explains what each commandment means, he uses the words "we should fear and love God." It's near impossible for people to love and trust God if they're terrorized by Him. But that's not what the word fear means here. It is the Hebrew word yara, which can be translated as fear when it's used all by itself, but it can also mean reverence or piety when it is connected to other words, such as of the Lord. And it's that concept of reverence and piety with which we are to approach God. I mean, while fear indicates we ought to be afraid of God's power, we are to, more importantly, have a healthy dose of respect for the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a respect for what God is potentially capable of as the basis for spiritual, moral, ethical health and wealth, both before God and before people. So in Proverbs, we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And we also read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." And thus it is that the 1991 translation of Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation instructs us when it says, "We fear God above all things when we revere Him alone as the highest being, honor Him with our lives, and then avoid what displeases Him." We approach God with a healthy dose of respect, as the psalmist teaches us in Psalm 96. "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." The God who created the universe and all things in it is a powerful God. He is capable of both building and destroying everything in creation. And that can be a terrifying prospect for us. But if you'll note, everything in Psalm 111 that precedes the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom is positive. It's a call to praise God before the eyes of everyone gathered. "Praise the Lord," the writer begins. And he books in the call at the end when he says, "His praise endures forever." And between that, he goes on to say, "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness, it endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. Yeah, God is powerful, and his creation stands as the proof of his power. But that same powerful and majestic God is righteous and merciful too. And so while God has both the power to build and to destroy, he approaches his people with mercy and compassion. It's as David writes, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them." And thus the psalmist recounts for us God's works and gifts to his people. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They're established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. God's power is displayed in giving his people Israel their promised land. He shows himself as a God that we can depend on, full of both faithfulness and justice, and his covenant lives on forever. And to top all of that, God keeps his promise. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Which brings us full circle back to the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who practice it have good understanding. Notice it's not just knowing about what God is capable of. The key is what we do because of this gracious God who calls us to be his people. It's not just a matter of knowing about God, but knowing the Lord to the point of living out our faith for others to see and to come to know him as well. Thus, those who practice the fear of the Lord are described for us in our epistle reading for today. As Paul teaches the Colossians, saying, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds together everything in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Our fear of God, our reverence, and our respect for the loving Lord God is made manifest as we live and move and have our beings in the name and by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we close out the year of the Lord 2024, we do so mindful of our sins and failures and yet thankful for the grace and the mercy of the Lord God, who sent his redemption to his people in the babe of Bethlehem, and who has commanded his covenant forever, which is fulfilled by him at the cross. So we enter into our time of confession before and with one another, mindful. Confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins, and second, that we receive absolution, that is forgiveness, from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. We come before our God mindful that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Thus, knowing the love and the mercy of God in Jesus, we can conclude with the psalmist, "Holy and awesome is His holy name." And all God's people said, Amen. Now, if you will, go ahead and please open up your hymnals back to the corporate confession and absolution. Go to page 291, to the middle there, and please rise. Having heard the word of God, let us confess our sins to Him, imploring Him for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto You all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended You and justly deserve Your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray You of Your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of Your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith. Amen. Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness but God's?
Yes.
Then let it be done for you as you believe. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I announce to you the forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Go in peace. Amen. You may be seated. And yes, we skipped a hymn. I did make a mistake. I skipped it on purpose. As a people who have received from the gracious bounty of our God so many blessings, we come thankful for what we have received, and we show it in our giving to the Lord. So we receive now the offerings of God's people.
Thank you.
If you would, please rise as we continue now with our prayers. We'll be using the order of responsive prayer number one. It begins on page 282 in the front part of your hymnal. Holy God, holy and gracious Father, have mercy and hear us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the morning versicles. I cry to you, O Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness. O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He redeemed your life from the pit and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let me cry come to you. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, we give you thanks on these days following Christmas that you and your love gave the greatest gift mankind could ever receive, mercy and forgiveness, in the form of the babe of Bethlehem, the Christ child, Jesus, your only Son. We give you thanks for his coming, for his life, for his dying, and for his resurrection, and look forward with hope to his coming again. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Lord, we pray that you would continue to bring healing and help to those in need of such things, that you would remember Mike, Charles, Marianne, Diane, Mary, and Melinda, also Susan and Chuck, and especially we lift up Cindy as she prepares for surgery on this Thursday. Grant them healing. Be with their doctors and nurses and caregivers, blessing the work of their hands. Lord, in your mercy, we pray also for the families that mourn, for the family of Gail, for the family of Bradley, and also for the family of David. Comfort them in the sure and certain hope that comes from Christ's resurrection of the dead, that we too shall rise and live with him and with you forever and ever in your holy place. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. We continue now with the morning prayer. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil have no power over me. Amen. If we would turn the page and go towards the bottom. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless us, defend us from evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. We close now with our last hymn, Let All Together Praise Our God, number 389. You may be seated. Just a quick word for announcements. The Grace in Action, even though it's not wasn't being able to be printed because of the copier, it is online. So you can go to gracelutheranmidlandtex.org and you can see all the announcements there. I know one thing we need sign up is people to pick up donuts because Brian is done. That's probably the most important thing we need you guys to hear. Someone needs to pick up donuts. And if you got any questions, you can probably check with Brian or one of us. We can tell you where to go and what to do. Not having a New Year's service of any sort, May God bless you in the coming new year as we begin to walk together in the future He has intended for all of us. Y'all go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.